Next man up, second hour on this Tuesday. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Talked a lot of Titans in the first hour. We will get back into it. I mentioned there was a Pro Football Talk article out there from Mike Florio. No inside info, just some speculation around what the Titans might be doing on the Brian Callahan front, and we will get to that coming up later in the show, but did want to stop over on college football, because talking about the Titans is just so negative right now, and we got two really good college football teams in the state of Tennessee, and a huge game this weekend between Vanderbilt and Alabama. Tennessee's on a bye. Vanderbilt down in Tuscaloosa, looking to win their second straight game over Alabama. After winning last year here in Nashville, College Game Day going to be down there in Tuscaloosa. Vandy obviously is the underdog. I believe I saw 10-ish points, maybe even up to 12, somewhere in there. It was double-digit spread, which on the road, you're going to get a bump if you're Alabama. Still think it's a little high. But Vandy going in, a chance to get to 6-0, clinch bowl eligibility in the first weekend of October, and put themselves right in the thick of the playoff race, if they're not already there. It's going to be tough, but there's a path to win, and this is a more talented Vanderbilt team than the one that beat Alabama last year.
Yeah, it is interesting to look at Alabama. Sure, they may be a little bit more talented in some aspects, but Vandy, they're just hitting on all cylinders. Like, they're putting up basketball scores in some regard. And sure, they're going up against teams that may not be the best quality of talent, but at the same time, that builds confidence for those, I would say, veteran players, the juniors and seniors on this team. And the MK Young, that yep. is now starting to come into his own. I think the double running back duo there with Cedric Alexander is just, it's a different level.
Well, it's like they've got four running backs who play a lot with A.J. Newberry and, Jamizel Lassiter, who is a walk-on, who he busted a long run against South Carolina for a touchdown that kind of ended that game.
Yeah.
Like, this Vandy team just had, it's deep. Like, it's deeper than I think it's been in a long time. And Alabama, obviously, is the more talented team. Like, Alabama's the more talented team than almost everybody else they line up against.
Yeah.
But the way Vandy's playing right now, I find it hard to believe this isn't going to be a game late into the second half. And maybe Alabama pulls away late. Again, it's in Tuscaloosa. That's a tough place to go win. But from what I've seen from Vanderbilt, I find it hard to believe that Alabama's just going to walk all over them this weekend.
Yeah, and I can see this game being a three-point game at halftime. I really could. Like, this is going to be a dogfight for Vanderbilt. And to the point about depth with Vandy, I don't know if Alabama has that true depth on their roster. Like, I think Kalen DeBoer has his guys he wants to put out there, the 11 on each side of the ball. But after that, I don't know. I just feel like they've gone through the gauntlet with Georgia this past weekend. I think they exposed a lot of what they wanted to really use against Vandy that they had to use against Georgia to get the job done. It's just something to keep in mind.
It's the same situation as last year of Alabama was coming off an emotional win against Georgia the week before. Vandy was coming off a bye last year, which is something to keep your mind on too. Vandy's bye week coming up next week now. So, but the big difference is last year, I think Alabama kind of looked past Vandy. Mm-hmm. They were the number one team in the country. I don't think Alabama's looking past Vanderbilt this year. So,
yeah. Do you think Alabama looked past Florida State in week one?
No. No, I don't know if they looked past them, but I think they thought they were going to go in there and
take care of business.
And take care of it. Because Florida State, again, they were 2-10 last year. Like, I don't know if they looked past them, but I think they underestimated them a little bit. Like, with Vandy last year, I seriously think Alabama thought that they could just walk into the stadium and win. And obviously, not the same old Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And with this year, Vandy's even better than they were the year before. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Vandy has to play very similarly to how they played last year in Nashville. Of
play horizontally.
You got to control the ball, keep the ball away from Alabama's offense, win the turnover battle. Like, that's going to be massive, because I think you, with the talent that you've brought in, I think you've given yourself a little bit more cushion. Like, last year, it felt like they had to play the perfect game to beat Alabama, and they did, and they won. I think you've given yourself a little bit more cushion because the talent level is a smaller gap this year, but you have to play a similar way of control time of possession, and I think you got to get a turnover early. Last year, they got a pick six off of Jalen Milroe right off the bat, made it 13-0, and it was like, oh crap, Vandy's here. I think you need a fast start again to see if you can get a turnover, get out to an early lead, and make Alabama play from behind. Because as we saw against Florida State, Alabama, when they were behind, they struggled to move the football. Ty Simpson looked frazzled. This game's at home, not in Tallahassee, but like I think that's the keys to success for Vanderbilt this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. And you made a point about going on the road and playing in a hostile environment. Vandy's already seen that this year.
Twice.
You think that has, I guess, matured them as a team to be like, you know what, this is another game. We can go in and win this thing.
I think so. I don't know if the atmosphere of Alabama is going to rattle them that much, but I do wonder about the national attention. And we can talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We have the text line back up. So if you have any texts you want to get to, Dustin from Hopkinsville with a great AI-generated image that he just sent. He calls it Mount Suckmore, and it has some prominent Titans figures on there. Well done, Dustin from Hopkinsville. If you have thoughts on Vanderbilt and Alabama this weekend, get those in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll keep talking college football on the other side. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. With you on this Tuesday, talking Vanderbilt and Alabama. Game day is in Tuscaloosa this weekend. If you have thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We actually do have the text line back ready, so if you have texts, you can get those in. 9596, Lewis asks, "What with a Vandy win, how possible is college game day in Nashville for the LSU game?" I think very likely. We were actually going through that before the show started. There are a couple of other decent games. I believe Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama are that weekend. But I think with a chance, like, they go to Athens every year. They're already going to Alabama this week. I think a chance to go to Nashville, if it makes sense. Like, if Vandy wins, or at least keeps it close in Tuscaloosa this week, I think there's a very good shot that game day is here on October 18th.
I'd agree. And to that point, if Vandy were to beat LSU, not trying to look too far into the future, could you imagine Vandy ending the era of Brian Kelly? I think that's a winner-go-home game for Brian Kelly, right?
I mean, he would still only have two losses at that point, so it's like you're still technically in the playoff race if you win out. But yeah, that might be the beginning of the end for sure. I think if Alabama had lost on Saturday to Georgia, this would be winner. You're done for Kalen DeBoer this weekend.
Absolutely.
I think he gained himself a little good grace with that win over the weekend in Athens, snapping the 33-game home winning streak for the Bulldogs. It's a big weekend for Vanderbilt football. Maybe one of the biggest games that they've played in franchise history, program history. We go back and forth between the Titans and college. You mix up the words sometimes. Program history. And I know if you go back a long time, like there's been big games in Vanderbilt history, but the change of college football to the 12-team playoff means that, like, this game, if Vandy wins this game, they are in the driver's seat to go to the college football playoff. Like, they would be 6-0. They still have 4 home games left on their schedule. And 3 of those are against teams that I think you could realistically say that Vandy's going to be favored in. Like, it would be close with Missouri and Auburn. Like, I think those will be close to pick'ems, but they'll be favored over Kentucky. You win those 3 games, that's 9 wins. All you got to do is go to Austin and beat Texas, or go to Knoxville and beat Tennessee, and you are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is a massive game for Vanderbilt. They're double-digit underdogs, so, like, the expectation is they're not going to win. But if they did, you're 6-0 and probably a top-10 team in the country. The question is, this team hasn't had this high of expectations before, and you've got game day there. You've got the national spotlight. You've got Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit calling your game. Can you deal with the noise from the outside? So far, it doesn't feel like it's been an issue for this team. Clark Lee from everything we've seen, has done a good job of keeping this team locked in, not letting the stuff from the outside get into that locker room. But you wonder if this week, with everything going on, Johnny Manziel says he's going to be on the sidelines wearing a Vandy jersey. Like, there's a whole lot around this game. Can you block it out and focus in and try and get a win this weekend?
I think they can. I really do. I think when they brought in Theo Vaughn and Ishow Speed, whatever his name is, to Vandy
practice. Yeah, the streamer.
Yeah, I think when you bring in a lot of that national attention for all these content creator influencers, it goes to show you Vanderbilt football is at a different precedent. I know that's very kind of immature in some regards to say, but I think Clark Lee has this team buying into the point where they're bought in so deep, they could care less what the outside noise is. I think they're just that into it to where they have zoned out everything. And kudos to Clark Lee, because the culture he has built since coming to Vandy is changed drastically in a really good way. Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not around that team. Like, I help with the games on Saturday, but like I don't get to see what's going on in that locker room. I know as much as everybody else does from seeing like the inside the locker room videos and all this, but it feels like everybody in that locker room, from Diego Pavia down to your seventh string cornerback, is all bought in on everything Clark Lee has to say.
Yep.
And they're all chasing the same mission. And I think that's a big difference. Like, 2 years ago, when the team went 2-10, like, I don't know if everybody was rowing the boat in the same direction, to use a PJ Fleck reference there. But it feels like this team is all pointed straight ahead, and they want to go to the college football playoff. Sometimes talent wins. Like, and again, Alabama, you look at that roster, there are a lot more NFL players on Alabama's team than there are on Vanderbilt's team. It is not going to be easy to go on the road, beat a team that you ruined their season last year, right? Like, mm-hmm. if Alabama wins that game, they're in the playoffs, and they're 10-2, and none of this around Kalen DeBoer's job ever really happens. Guess what? You did that to them last year. They're going to be looking for revenge. They've got all these first-round picks on their team. Can you go in there and punch them first? And that's going to be huge on Saturday afternoon. I hate it's not a night game, but honestly, maybe that helps out with Vanderbilt a little bit.
A little bit. And you made a great point of just talking about Clark Lee and what it may be for them to get the win on Saturday. I think going back to the Netflix doc with the SEC after they lost to Texas, just his speeches to the team after that loss and just before the game and so forth, I think it gave a better appreciation for the outside looking in to say, yeah, this guy is a really good coach. Hey, he actually does preach what he's trying to play on the field. And I think that gives a lot more of a better perspective for the people outside, for sure.
I loved the Netflix documentary, and I know we've talked about this before, but Clark Lee, when they just were asking him about why he came to Vanderbilt, and he said, it may sound egotistical or delusional, but I came here to be the savior of Vanderbilt football. And, like, that is the mindset you have to have, right? Because, again, in that same documentary, was it Paul Feinbaum, who always is kind of a Vandy hater, was saying, like, calling Vandy the doormat of the SEC is an insult to doormats. Like, that was the kind of stuff that was being said about Vanderbilt for a long time. And Clark Lee, in 2 years, has turned them into a college football contender. Like, it is special to see what's going on, and it really does feel like, and I know it's a win on Saturday doesn't guarantee you anything, but it feels like a win on Saturday could be the culmination of 2 years of work of trying to get this program to prominence. And it's like, if you win on Saturday, there's no more, well, they got lucky, or, well, Lenore Sellers got hurt at halftime, or, well, you know, if this had happened, maybe that team wasn't very good. It's like, if they beat Alabama on Saturday, there's none of that. Vanderbilt is just a playoff contender. That's all it would be.
I agree. It puts them in a different tax bracket in the rankings, for sure. I mean, I think I was telling you, like, if they beat Alabama, they're definitely a top 10 team after this week, right? They have to be.
I don't know how they're not. Like, let's look at the rankings here. Like,
because if they're not, then that's just, I'd say, disrespectful to the Vandy program for what they've done. I mean,
right. Like, so you look ahead of them. You've got a couple, like, I think sorry, Tennessee, but if Vanderbilt beats Georgia, or beats Alabama this weekend, Vanderbilt's going to be ranked ahead of Tennessee.
They should
be. Vanderbilt's undefeated. Tennessee's not. I understand Georgia was – they should have won that game. I think you would put Vanderbilt over LSU, who yes. both those teams have a bye this week, so there's no more data points. I think Vanderbilt would go over Iowa State.
Agree to that.
They'd pass Alabama. That would put them at 12. And then I just wonder, like, do they get above a Georgia or a Texas? Like, that's where I wonder if it, but I think they're top 12. I think if they win against Alabama on Saturday, on Sunday afternoon when the poll comes out, they will be in a playoff position, like one of the top 12 teams.
Yeah.
Whatever about auto bids and all that stuff. But they will be a top 12 team in the country.
Okay.
Which is crazy considering, again, this team lost 10 games in a row 2 years ago. But, and again, I'm not saying they're going to beat them because, like, Alabama's a good team. This is in Alabama, and they have everything to play for down there. But I wouldn't count Vandy out based on what we've seen. Four straight 20-point wins to start off their season. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Our friend Clay has called in. Clay, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Jake, I turned the show on, and I heard you talking about Vandy and Bama, so I was going to give my take on the game, and then I've got a question for you as I get off. You know, the way I see this game Saturday, Vanderbilt, in my opinion, is kind of playing with house money. You go down there, you know, you make a great showing, you compete. Hopefully you have nobody hurt. Even if you lose the game, you're 5-1. You're looking at a bye week, and then you've got LSU coming, you know, to Nashville. And this is fun for me, Jake, because I've been a Vanderbilt fan since the 60s, and I've taken a lot of lumps in football. So the job Clark Lee has done, you know, is amazing. What Diego Pavia has done for Vanderbilt football is amazing. So my question to you, though, is, you know, Diego leaves, obviously, at the end of this year. They're losing a lot of good players, whether they came through the portal, whether they, you know, whatever, guys that came in for 1 year. So do you think that Clark Lee has to put the major sales job on Coach Kill and Coach Beck to stay? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Clay. And it's a ton of fun. To be able to talk about Vandy in this way. And I think Clay makes a good point of, like, they don't have to win this game on Saturday. Like, to make the playoff, winning on Saturday is not a necessity. It would help a good amount. Like, it would put you in a really good spot if you did win. But if you just keep it close and look competitive, you can still make the playoffs if you lose on Saturday. But that is the question, right, of is this sustainable for Vanderbilt? When Diego Pavia leaves, will Jerry Kill stay? I know Jerry Kill's getting older. He's had some medical issues. Will Tim Beck stay? If they do stay, can you find a quarterback who can kind of recreate what Diego Pavia has brought here? But I think what's being missed out of all this is that the success that Vanderbilt has raised the profile of this program.
Yes.
And it's no longer around here, I think, in Middle Tennessee. I don't think... It's like high school players are like, Vanderbilt. And they're like, oh, Vanderbilt, new facilities. I get to live in Nashville, get a great degree, and I get to compete at the highest level of football. Like, I think the narrative around Vanderbilt is changing. Also, they've invested a whole lot in NIL.
Yeah.
So I understand the hesitance to say, like, is this sustainable with Diego Pavia leaving? But I think everything is moving in a direction for Vanderbilt that they're only going to get more talented from here and be a team that can compete consistently. Now, maybe next year you don't find a quarterback who can immediately pick it up as fast as Diego, and maybe there's a slight step back. But I think in terms of progress, it may not be linear, but I think this program is headed in the right direction, and it's not going to just crater out as soon as Diego Pavia leaves campus.
Yeah, I think with, and I've already talked about the veteran leadership, I think this veteran leadership does help I guess, the youth on this team, the freshmen, the sophomores. And we've already seen, you mentioned Laster, the running back, who's really just come into his own as well. I think when you have those spurts and flashes of promise with those young guys, it still goes to show you there's no need to really go out to the portal and grab XYZ amount of players. Sure, you may go grab a portal prospect for a quarterback position because that's the face of the team. I get all that. Maybe you do bring in a guy that's similar to Pavia's style of play. I don't know. But you definitely can do some damage in the portal for sure now in this NIL era. So
for sure.
I think if you can just keep the promise of your young position players minus the quarterback position, I think they shouldn't have too much of a drop-off. Maybe 8 wins. I'm just ballparking something next year, and that's too far in advance.
But right.
Something in that realm, I think, is still in the right direction.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be like Vandy is going to be 5-0 every year heading into SEC play and like have a chance at the playoffs every year. But I think this team, they're not going to be a team that goes 3-9 anymore. Like I think that's behind them, at least with what they have right now in Clark Lea. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll look a little bit further around the SEC coming back. The SEC has 9 of the top 16 teams in the country, if I'm counting correctly. Yes, they have 9 of the top 16 in the country. How many of them make the playoffs? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 1025 The Game. Nashville hopes that College Game Day coming to our city in a couple of weeks. If Vandy can get a win this weekend in Tuscaloosa with College Game Day in town, very good chance that that ends up happening on October 18th. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. Next man up. Do want to issue a correction, a PTI, errors and omissions segment here. Andrew Allegretta let me know that the broadcast crew, not Chris and Herbie, on Saturday for Vandy, Alabama. I guess they're doing Miami, Florida State. It'll be Sean McDonough's crew on Saturday, who is calling the Tigers Guardians this series this week. So I'll get to hear lots of Sean McDonough this weekend. His iconic voice crack moment with the Titans and Chiefs in the playoffs from back in 2018.
Yeah.
Was that him and Gruden doing that game?
It was.
It was him and Gruden.
It was actually Gruden's last game as an ESPN analyst.
Right, because he became the Raiders head coach. Yeah. That was the play that didn't count on Derrick Henry's fumble that they took back for a touchdown. Anyway, yes, not Kirk and Herbie on Saturday for Vandy and Alabama issuing that correction here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We're asking the question here. You got 9 SEC teams in the top 16. Like, that is over half of your conference is right around the playoff conversation. How many of these teams do we think get in? And it's interesting looking at the rankings where would you have guessed I know it's only the end of September, but the top 3 teams in the SEC are Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M.
It's crazy. I mean, I thought A&M would be up there because that was my preseason favorite.
Right.
But Oklahoma, it's interesting. They have to do some damage control without John Mateer right now. I mean, the whole hand injury thing. It's surprising. I'm very surprised. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's tough for Oklahoma, and they hope they get him back sooner rather than later because I don't know if they can stay afloat with the schedule that they've got. But Ole Miss, statement win against LSU this weekend. Lane Kiffin. All the headlines from Lane Kiffin. With Whit Weeks dating his daughter.
He looked for him after the game. Where's Whit at?
Yeah, where's Whit? He said that in the post-game press conference. And then I guess there was a video of Whit Weeks puking before a play, and Lane Kiffin just responded, tempo.
I love how he just trolls the internet. It's great.
Lane Kiffin, he is the internet's college football coach. And maybe the head coach at Alabama at some point.
Or Florida.
Or, yeah, who knows? Could be some openings in the SEC coming up this offseason. But then right behind Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, because they're 4, 5, and 6 right now, correct? Yes. You've got Texas at 9, Alabama at 10, LSU's at 13.
Yep.
13.
Georgia at 12,
Tennessee at 15, Vanderbilt at 16. So you've got all these teams right there. Now, you got auto bids and stuff like that. So you look at the top Ohio State, Oregon, Miami. Feels pretty safe that those three teams are going to be in the playoff. You've got a couple other Big Ten teams mixed in there with Penn State and Indiana. You're going to get an auto bid from the Big 12. You're going to get an auto bid from a group of five, likely the winner of the American with USF and Tulane. But is it realistic that six teams out of the SEC could get into the playoff this year?
It's realistic. I'd say it's a pipe dream realism. I mean,
it'd be tough. It'd be tough to get. I mean, because we haven't gotten into the thick of SEC play yet, where these teams kind of cannibalize themselves.
Right.
So we're kind of at the point where, yeah, you could have nine in the top 16, but you know, you need some things to fall your way. But I think six is the ceiling.
Yeah, for me, I think the sweet spot number is four. I think four SEC teams I could see get into the playoff. As for those teams right now, looking at it, I think A&M's one of them. LSU's on the borderline for me. I think if Vandy takes care of business against Alabama and maybe they lose to LSU or they beat LSU one or the other, I think LSU with two losses, that's when you get into the conversation of you got to start dwindling them down. Because then that gives an extra respect factor for Vandy's resume and that Vandy's taking care of business. I think it would leapfrog them. Texas is still trying to figure things out. I'm not fully sold on them. I think they may have another loss coming up potentially. That's just that, like you talk about cannibalism in the SEC. I think that's where you're going to start seeing it with these, I guess you could call them powerhouses that are now middle of the pack in the top 25.
Yeah, we're going to see, like, we're starting October tomorrow. By the end of October, we're going to have a really good idea where these teams stand. We went through Vandy's schedule over the next month of at Alabama, LSU, Missouri at home, at Texas. Look at LSU's schedule. They got a bye this week, then South Carolina at home, and South Carolina looked good against Kentucky this past weekend. Maybe they got a little bit of swagger back. Then you come to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt. You got A&M, and you got at Alabama, all coming up in the next month, 5 weeks or so. So this is LSU. Do you think if they miss the playoffs again this year that Brian Kelly's gone?
100%.
Really?
I think this LSU temperature is hot right now. That's a program that does not like losing, especially a program that wins national championships with every coach they bring in. And I told this to my best friend. I was like, listen, if they bring in Brian Kelly to LSU, they're just bringing in Notre Dame 2.0. Because Notre Dame not being in a conference allowed Brian Kelly to get away with a lot of things. When you're in the SEC, buddy, there is no getting away with anything. You are held accountable for everything that you say. Nonetheless, I know Connor has a little conspiracy about the Calipariism or whatever it is with Brian Kelly.
He's got some of that.
Yeah, with Brian Kelly, that is. So I think he's gone, though. If he loses to Vandy, I think you're right. It starts the avalanche of his departure from LSU.
And again, that schedule is tough. They finish the year against Oklahoma. So not going to be easy for LSU. And you look at some of these teams, I think right now Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and A&M feel like they're in a really good spot because they're not the hunted. Like, they're not the teams that are always at the top. They're not your Georgia. They're not your Texas. And Texas is the one I want to point out here. Like, they haven't played anybody since Ohio State. Like, they lost to Ohio State on the road. They beat San Jose State, although not as convincingly as maybe you would hope. They beat UTEP, maybe not as convincingly as you would hope. They blew out Sam Houston this past week, but now they get into SEC play. Their schedule isn't brutal. Right, you got
it can be,
but there's no easy SEC schedule.
Right,
but they got Florida, they got Oklahoma and the Red River rivalry coming up.
I think they're getting not Florida. I think they're getting Oklahoma at the right time.
Right, if Mateer's not there, like there's a chance you win that one. Then you get Kentucky, who so far has been the worst team in the SEC.
Yep.
Then Mississippi State, who looked good this week.
They did, but
that's another one where Texas is going to be favored.
In Starkville, by the way.
Yes, in Starkville. Then you got Vandy at home. So, like, the schedule over the next month and a half for Texas isn't that bad. But you finish, you got Georgia in Athens, and you got A&M at the end of the year. Those are going to be tough games, and it's like you lost that game to Ohio State. I know that the committee has said that they're going to value strength of schedule a little bit more. But a three-loss team automatically puts you right on the bubble.
Yeah, 100%. If you're a three-loss team, especially in the SEC, your odds are favoring more of not getting in the playoff than getting in.
Yes. So the SEC, it's loaded right now. You got 9 teams in the top 16. Who gets in? We'll talk more about it coming up next and wrap up hour number 2. More Titans talk coming up in the final hour of the show. Also, the MLB playoffs start in just over an hour. Nick Frazier and I will give our World Series predictions coming up at the end of the show. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Oh, wow. I love it. Parker Kelly coming back with some great music. MLB playoffs coming up in just over an hour. My Tigers, I'm getting nervous here, guys. It's, you know, I kind of felt like with the way the Tigers collapsed that I wouldn't really care as much. But it's playoff baseball. I've only experienced this twice since I was 14 years old. So I'm getting ready. Tarik Skubal on now. We'll talk more baseball later. Wrapping up our conversation on college football, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. 9 SEC teams in the top 16. And we just went through some of the big names there, whether they can make the playoffs. Let's say 5 get in. Who are you picking as your 5 right now?
Ooh, my 5, excluding bias, I would go A&M, Georgia, Tennessee, and then taking my bias out of it. I want to put Vandy in there, but I'm just going to keep it out of there. Did I say Texas already?
No.
I'll go Texas.
So you got A&M, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas.
Yes.
One more?
Oh.
A&M. If you want one, I mean, if you only think 4 are going to get in.
Yeah, I only think 4 is going to get in, but if I had to put a 5th one in there, I'll go Alabama.
Yeah.
That just seems like the safe play. I mean, if not Alabama, I would definitely pick Vanderbilt. Honestly, Vanderbilt, for me, it teeters on this game Saturday.
Yeah, really I think does. For Vanderbilt, the outlook changes completely if you win this game Saturday.
Yeah.
It goes from maybe if everything goes right, they could get into the playoffs to, hey, all they need is a few things to go right and they could make the playoffs. Like, yeah. That's what it flips like that. And so,
like if you were to ask me this question next week, yeah, Vandy's one of those 4 or 5 teams I'm picking.
If I had to pick, Oklahoma, I know they've looked good, but just the uncertainty there, I can't put them in. I'm looking at Ole Miss's schedule, and I think there's enough wins on there to get Lane Kiffin in. I think there is. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with the Rebels. I'm going to go with Texas, too. I started the conversation about Texas wanting to pick them to not make the playoffs, and then I just went through their schedule. I'm like, well, I mean, as long as they're just decent, they should get in. So I'm going to say Texas gets in, too. Ole Miss, Texas, I'll go Alabama. I think that was a big win for them. And again, the talent level there, if they can start to get everything else going their way and get the most out of that talent, they're going to be tough to beat. So I'll go with those 3. I'll go Georgia. And then, man, I honestly, the last one, it might be the winner of Tennessee Vandy at the end of the year. Like that, and that's awesome to say. I heard Joe and Robbie talking about this morning on Robbie and Rex Road of like that could be the biggest game in Tennessee Vanderbilt history.
Yeah.
And again, you have to go back a long ways, and I'm sure there are other big games, but that if a playoff spot is on the line, like both those teams are 9-2 going into that game, that is massive in Neyland Stadium, and I know it would take a lot to get there for both those teams. Vandy's got to take care of business, can only lose 2 of their next 6 to get there, and it's a gauntlet. Tennessee's got to be able to find a way to win a couple of tough games. They play Oklahoma late enough in the year that you'd think John Mateer might be back for that game.
Right.
So it's going to take a lot, but I think I don't know if I could pick one because I think it might actually come down to that last game.
I'd have to agree with you there. You mentioned Texas and their strength of schedule. I think you mentioned last segment about how the committee's really taking into consideration for strength of schedule. If you look at Texas's schedule and you see Vanderbilt on there, say if Vanderbilt does beat Texas, right? That's 2 losses. I mean, the last 3 games for them would be – or 4 games. It'd be 3 games, Georgia, Arkansas, Texas A&M. You feel like, does a 2-loss Texas A&M team to Vanderbilt, does that leave them on the outside looking in a little bit, you think?
Yeah. Man.
The way I said it kind of makes me disrespect Vandy in a roundabout way, but I feel like that's what the committee would do.
It's just, you look at the top 20, right now in the country, and it's just there's so much to sort out. Like, Notre Dame is even sitting at 21, and like they could make a run and get themselves back into the playoff conversation.
Well, they got to win out.
Like, Florida State, I know they lost to Virginia on Friday, but like they could make a run and be dangerous. I mean, we saw what they did against Alabama. Georgia Tech is undefeated in the ACC. You got Iowa State at 5-0 in the Big 12. Like, there are a lot of teams that are lurking, and the SEC, there's going to be so many crucial games down the stretch of, like, I think, honestly, most of November is going to feel like elimination games in the SEC of, like, hey, winner of this game gets to stay in the playoff race. Loser, sorry, you go to the back of the line.
Yeah, and the whole question in my head that comes to mind is SEC fatigue. Are people going to get to the point where, listen, if four or five SEC teams are getting into this, what about those Notre Dames, those Florida States like you're talking about? Like, I think that's what is going to become a problem this upcoming playoff.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some people out there that are not going to be in favor of this SEC fatigue. Or they are in favor of it, whatever.
The ACC is making a strong push to have two teams.
Yeah.
Because Georgia Tech, again, is undefeated. They almost lost to Wake Forest on Saturday. So, like, who knows if they're going to be able to sustain it.
Right.
But they are undefeated. Florida State has the one loss, but they're still a top 20 team in the country. And I hate to say it, Virginia is in the top 25, too. And their loss to NC State does not count as a league game, actually.
Why is that?
I don't know. They played it as a non-conference game.
Interesting.
So it is not an ACC game. But outside of that, you look back at the Big 12, like it looks like Texas Tech and Iowa State are kind of the front runners there, but they could get two teams in. It's going to be a really fun end of the season because it does feel like there are lots of teams who feel like they have a shot at the playoffs, and it's going to get dwindled down, right. But I feel like there could be some teams who get left out that feel like they deserve to be in at the end of the year, and the committee, based on what we have right now, and obviously lots of games left to be played, mm-hmm. But I think the committee is going to have themselves some tough choices based on the way this has played out so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Texas Tech losing a game on their schedule and being left out and being a one-loss team.
Right.
I feel like the disrespect from the committee when it comes to Big 12 teams, especially a team like Texas Tech that's blowing teams out of the water by like 60 points, 50 points. Like, come on, a little more respect on that.
That's the ACC and the Big 12. You're still playing in, like, BCS football where it's, like, you have to basically be perfect to get in to the dance.
Yeah.
The SEC and the Big Ten, it's like, all right, if you just get through that slate with two losses, here you go.
It's like they're held to a different standard, like BCS
but,
and college football.
I mean, yeah. I get it. Like, the strength of schedule is different. Like, in the SEC, if your worst games are Kentucky and Mississippi State, that's different than playing Wake Forest and
Kent State,
Virginia Tech,
Oregon State,
like all those teams that you see in these other conferences. So 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Lots to play out in the SEC and college football as a whole. Big game this Saturday, Vanderbilt and Alabama. Will continue to preview it all week long. But back into the Titans when we come back. I read an article yesterday from Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. This was not sourced information, but he speculated something that I hadn't thought of before. It might be a little bit of a conspiracy, but we'll get into it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, wrapping up hour number two here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.